This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم.
Number one, obviously this is quite embarrassing. Jayed, I woke up when Brother Yusuf gave me a phone call.
Where's Brother Yusuf?
Now, Jayed.
And the reason being, subhanAllah, was that on Sunday evening, we finished off the course in Manchester. By the time we left Manchester, was about 11 p.m. And we drove to London. We reached London about 2:30 in the morning. Slept from 2:30 until about 8 or 9 o'clock. And then checked out from the hotel. And Monday evening, left for South Africa. Monday evening, the entire night, no sleep on Emirates. Land in Dubai at about 8 o'clock in the morning. And then an hour later was the flight to South Africa. So Monday evening, there was no sleep whatsoever. And then Tuesday evening, reach home. And you people were here, alhamdulillah. Reach home, get everything ready for Wednesday morning. And the plan was to leave Wednesday morning at 4 o'clock in the morning. But unfortunately, due to whatever, we left at 5 o'clock. So yesterday in the morning, very early, left at 5, got here at 7:30, alhamdulillah. So 2.5 hours from Tonga, we are flying to make it here on time for the 8 o'clock lesson. Got here, and then Yusuf says, no problem, you know, Tashif Tariq will do the lesson. Jayid? I mean, I was inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun while driving. My wife was like, you know, be careful, you might die. I said, you know, better if you just sleep. And we were here on time, but then Sheikh Tariq did the lesson. And then I sat from 8 o'clock until 11, 3 hours, doing quick revision with regards to yesterday's lesson. And then after the lesson, when I realized, I said to Brother Yusuf and the other Brother Yusuf also, I said, definitely this Qawaid Fiqhiyah, you know, it went over the head of many of the people. So, you know, we require some notes or something like that. So then it was the entire day sitting and making that PowerPoint presentation. Yusuf came to my room. He says, okay, this is how you use PowerPoint. You know, this is what you do. This is the mouse and you move it here. You do it this. He says, yeah, we're big. I mean, he's a master, you know, at PowerPoint. He even uses the animations. I said, just leave the animations for now. We just need something to show them. Jayid. So it was the entire day using that. We finished off the class. And then went to the room, and today's qa'ida is al-yaqeenu la yazulu bishak, certainty is not removed by doubt. And I have this sickness that whenever it comes to anything, whether it comes to tahara, whether it comes to a principle like this, if I have 10 books on the topic, then I have to read all 10 books with regards to that issue. You know, until I will do an explanation. I have 15 books, then I must read all 15 books, you know, to have the full understanding from all angles, everything. So basically finished at 20 to 1, reading up on that matter. And there was one book, and there's still a few more. Set the alarm for 4:30 to wake up, continue the reading. I said, after Fajr, we'll start the PowerPoint presentation, inshallah. But unfortunately, 4:30 came and it went, and we thought a few more minutes. And next thing it was 25 past, Allahumma musta'an. The missed call came and then woke up. I said, yeah, I'm coming on the way. By the time I made wudu, made salah, and came here. Allahumma musta'an. Hayyakum Allah.
The revision from Sheikh Yawas, probably he says that excuses don't change reality.
Well, you know. And no doubt whatsoever. Ibn Taymiyyah, and in fact, majority of the scholars, in fact, all of the scholars, there is the mas'ala that we discussed in Coolness of the Eyes, that if an individual, and obviously we are far from that, alhamdulillah, if an individual wakes up 2 minutes before, no, let's say 5 minutes after sunrise, Jayid, 5 minutes while the sun is still rising. Jayid, what does he do? Does he, you know, perform his sunnah? Does he perform his farad first? Is this salah qada? Is it within its time? What's more important, according to majority of the scholars? And what if this individual does not have water and you only have 2 minutes left for salatul fajr? Do you go and perform your salah without wudu, with tayammum? Or do you, you know, go and take a ghusl? Let's say you require a ghusl and you only have 2 minutes left, and you allow for the time to expire and you perform your salatul fajr after sunrise. Jayid, the mas'ala of the clash of preconditions. Time is about to expire, you have 2 minutes left. You need a ghusl. Ghusl is going to take you 15 minutes. Jayid, so do you allow time to expire and take your ghusl at 10 past 6 if the time expired at 6 o'clock? Jayid. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he comes on the scene and he joins between the opinion of the Maliki scholars and majority. Majority of the scholars always go with purification. They say purification is most important. You cannot go and make the yammum when water is available for you to take a ghusl. You cannot go and pray your salah without any wudu or ghusl when you have water available. Jayid. Whereas the Maliki scholars, they say, no, time is the most important. That's why if you open up, for example, Bukhari and all of these books, they always have the chapter of Tahara, then the chapter of Salah, then the next chapter. Whereas the Maliki scholars, in their books of fiqh, and what's the famous Maliki book of hadith rather? The Muwatta of Imam Malik. The Muwatta of Imam Malik, he has the chapter of the prayer times first, and then he has the chapter of Tahara, giving you an indication that with me, I believe that purification, I believe that time is more important. So he's put time first, then he's put Tahara. Jayid. So the Maliki scholar, if you woke up and you only have 1 minute left, 2 minutes left, you go and make tayammum and you pray. No time for tayammum, you still go and pray. As long as you catch the time on time, Malikis. Majority, no, purification is most important. Ibn Taymiyyah comes on the scene and he says, well, subhanAllah, if an individual had overslept, or there was an individual who had forgotten about the prayer, what's the common factor between these two? He's not liable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept him asleep, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused him to forget. And Allah does not hold us liable when Allah made us forget a matter, and Allah does not hold us liable when Allah kept us asleep. So he mentions the famous hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that if you were asleep or if you had forgotten, then you perform your salah when you remember or when you wake up, and there is no kafara due from you. There's no other penalty, etc. So the point was, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially when it comes to a matter of sleep, we're not talking about other excuses, but we are talking about the matter of sleep or forgetfulness. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overlooks for the individual who had missed his salah, that Ibn Taymiyyah says, if you wake up 1 minute or 2 minutes before sunrise, you perform your salah, you go and take a ghusl and you perform your salah, even if you prayed 10 past 6, the sun has already risen. When you perform your salah is within its time. Because your time only started when you woke up. For the rest of the ummah, yeah, their time started at 4:30 or 5 o'clock, etc. But Allah kept you asleep. You had a special time. Your time started when you awoke. So he said, the individual who wakes up at 2 minutes to 6... wake up, he says, go and take a bath, take your ghusl. The sun is rising, no problem, take your ghusl. You will pray at 10 past 6, it's not qada for you. Your time is now being, your prayer is being prayed on time, because for you, you have special time. When did your time begin? It began when you woke up, and not like the rest of the ummah, at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, etc. Jayid, point in that matter was, long story, Jayid, was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the matter of sleep and in the matter of forgetfulness, that there are excuses there. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Noble Quran, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِّينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. Oh Allah, the dua that we make, oh Allah, do not hold us accountable in a matter, in nasina, if we forget, in matters where we forgot, and matters where we made a mistake. And then Allah says, I have done so, that, you know, I've already forgiven you for this matter. And this was one difference between us and the previous nations. Also, that's the reason why we are called insan. What's the root of insan? Insan is nisyan. Nisyan is to forget. That nasiya Adam wa nasiya dhurriyatahu. Adam forgot and his progeny, his people after him, they also forgot. What did Adam forget? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Adam forgot and his people, his children also forgot. That we always continue to forget. What did he forget? Not to eat from the tree? Knowledge? He forgot knowledge?
He gave a period of his life to God.
Naam. Adam alayhi salam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took out from his loins the entire human race, all of us were there. Adam alayhi salam, he looked at one individual and he saw some sort of intuition, some brightness in him, etc. He asked, who is the soul of this person here? It was said to him, this is Dawood. How long will he live? Such and such number of years. Adam alayhi salam said, well, I give him from my life 40 years. Is that allowed? Possible? Yeah, no problem. So 40 years of Adam alayhi salam's life was taken out and given to Dawood alayhi salam. When the angel of death comes to take the life of Adam, Adam says, no, what, you came early. Jayid, I still have another 40 years left. So Adam was told, no, you gave 40 years to Dawood alayhi salam. So the Prophet said here, with regards to this matter, he forgot, and so his progeny, they also forget. And that's why we are insan, we always forget. Hayyakumullah. That was the introduction with regards to our excuse and putting forward our plea bargain. Hayyakumullah. With regards to the reminder, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the noble Quran that if we had to count the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is a matter which is an impossibility for us. We will not be able to count it. If you ask the Muslim who's gone for Hajj, when he comes back for Hajj, as many say, that you go with the Haji, you go to his house, all he talks about is Hajj. You go to a gathering where the Hajis are, all they talk about is Hajj. That's, imagine Islam if we never have Hajj. Imagine Islam if we never had Salatul Jumu'ah. Yes, many a times if you're in a small town, you have to travel a distance to go to a larger town to go and perform Salah in Jama'ah, especially Salatul Jumu'ah. You'd find the Muslim, he'd pray his five daily prayers in his small town. But for Jumu'ah, he'll make the distance, he'll make the journey, go somewhere else and pray Salatul Jumu'ah in public, in this large congregation. That he makes his efforts, he comes there. But imagine Islam without Salatul Jumu'ah. He's made an act, he's made a sacrifice. But imagine your life without Salatul Jumu'ah. That's at that masjid, on the weekly, you will meet Brother Ahmed, meet Brother Suleiman, meet your friends. You haven't talked to them for a week, for 2 weeks, etc. That's the common gathering after 1 week where everyone gets together. Imagine your life without the month of Ramadan. No doubt, the Sharia has taklif in it. When we discuss the qa'idah, the principle that with difficulty comes ease, not every type of difficulty gives rise to ease. The Sharia within itself, in and of itself, it has difficulty. To wake up for Salatul Fajr on a cold morning is not an easy matter. It's difficult, Jayid. For example, the individual, for him to make the Hajj journey, sacrifice as well, to pay his zakat, these are not easy matters. These are difficult. But these are, in terms of the great benefit which comes with it, there are small difficulties. Ask the individual, who has lived a life of 50, 60 years, he has not seen the month of Ramadan, subhanallah, and now he experiences the month of Ramadan. What a great benefit, what a ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he's lost out. That's every single one of us as young children, we have the memory that everyone goes to the masjid, you're waiting for the sighting of the moon. And once the moon is sighted, everybody is happy that tomorrow is, the beginning of the month of Ramadan, that the mother's done her shopping and the family has done their shopping, etc. Imagine life if we never had this month of Ramadan. The point is that how much we need Islam more than Islam needs us. Imagine if we never had, the in the gathering of Hajj, that you come there, you meet your brother from Somalia, you meet your brother from Seychelles, you meet this brother from America, you meet this brother from Bosnia. Sometimes you sit with that Bosnian Muslim and you have a conversation for 30, 35 minutes. He knows two or three words in English. You know more, obviously. You know not a single word in the Bosnian language. But subhanAllah, what was it that united yourself and this blue-eyed, blonde-haired Muslim from Bosnia? Nothing but La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. That the non-Muslim was asked by the Muslim, that look at the picture of this haram. How long do you think it would take to line up all of these individuals in proper lines around this black house? So the non-Muslim said, well, if they start in the morning, you know, it might take them 7, 10, 20, 15 hours. So the man said, just wait. Sheikh Imam al-Haram Sudais, he came to the Musalla. He said, stawu i'tadilu. After the Iqama was given, everybody was up by that time before his takbir. Everyone was in that line. This is a miracle which takes place 5 times every single day. I mean, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put the avenues of discipline for us, but we don't really make use of them, you know, to the full as it should be used. But imagine that. We would never be able to do that. As Allah mentions in the Quran with regards to taking, you know, this individual from the Khazraj and Aus and this tribe and that tribe and putting them all together. You were at the brink of the fire and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, made that leaf between your hearts and bonded you together. Would it have been possible for us, I mean, especially us South Africans, Jayid, you know, to bond between the black man and the white man and the Chinese man and the Zambian man and the guy from Zimbabwe, Jayid? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy in terms of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, bonds between every single one of us. Ajib, subhanallah. That we have the sense of the ummah, no matter how weak the Muslim is. He might be a Muslim who's far away from the religion, but he goes for Hajj or he's in a gathering, he goes to a town, he meets an individual, he's traveling through Zambia or something like that, and first thing you know, the usual question is, okay, where are you from, brother? Oh, I'm from Zambia. Many masjids, you know, in your town, you know, many Muslims there. Subhanallah, he is the furthest away from the religion, but he asked the question, you know, many Muslims in your town, you know, many masajid you people have in your country. Subhanallah, that flicker of iman, no doubt, walhamdulillah, is in the hearts. No matter how low the iman gets, but that flicker of iman is still there. The point in these matters was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Islam has granted us major bounties. That when we gather in gatherings like this, our iman increases. In the Haram of Medina, for example, there is a scholar, Muhammad ibn Mukhtar al-Shinqiti, that the students of Medina know. And they would say that we go every Thursday to his lesson, and he probably takes sometimes 12 years to finish one book. A book of fiqh, he has 1 hour lesson every week. And then during the months of Hajj, there's no lesson. Ramadan, there's off, etc. 12 years, I mean, guy says, I came to Medina to study this book. By the time we finish this book, you know, I'd have grandchildren and I'd still be in the book. But subhanAllah, you get what is behind that book. What is behind that knowledge? What's the thamara? What's the fruit behind the book and studying and doing all of this and the sacrifice? Is that you have the khashya and you have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Sheikh Yawar Beg, when he was in Malaysia, he spoke about, the definition of taqwa. And he said that commonly people say, obviously, you know, it's the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But rather he said, and I think it was the khutbah of Jum'ah that he gave at the University of Malaysia, he mentioned that if you fear something, then you run away from it, Jayid. If you fear Allah, you want to run away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You fear brother Ahmed, you want to run away from him. But rather he said, maybe a better definition would be fear of displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you fear to displease Allah, that you do not want to, you know, put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a position that, Allah is embarrassed with regards to your actions. Jayid, lack of better words, that, you know, you don't want to displease Allah in this matter. There's a good YouTube video, The Boy and the Cookie. Anyone saw that? Nobody? We posted this on Facebook a couple days ago. In Manchester, a brother showed this to me. That this sheikh in Saudi Arabia, he's giving a lecture. And he's talking about those who had committed sins. And they've made tawbah. And obviously, you know, they lived different lives. And who is there who has not committed sins. من ذا الذي ترضى سجاياه كلها كفى بالمرء نبلا أن تعد معايبه. The poet, he says, and who is there who has not committed sins? It's enough that you are noble if you can count your sins. The man who can count his sins, meaning that they are so few, at least, you know, that's a high level of nobility. Every single one commits sins. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, every son of Adam, every one of the children of Adam commits sins. And the best of those who commit sins are who? Are the ones who make tawbah. In fact, obviously they don't like to spread this hadith. Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam states, maybe a sin, you know, this individual gets Jannah through this sin. How? How does he get Jannah through a sin? That every time he falls into this sin, you know, this sin gets him down, breaks him. That, ya Allah, you know, I've committed this sin again. And this person is always in that state. And then eventually after a month, 2 months, he's made tawbah totally. But unfortunately, desire, temptation, whatever, he falls within that sin, he commits the sin, and he breaks himself down before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, I've committed this sin again, and oh Allah, you forgive me, and who is there who will forgive me? He breaks himself down before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inkisar and dhul, he lowers himself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it continues throughout his entire life, subhanallah. And due to that, he enters Jannah. Whereas the other individual, like the famous hadith of that individual who asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I want to die in sajda, and he got that. And he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the Banu Israel for years and years and years. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels that enter my slave into paradise due to the bounties from my side. He said, just wait there, I mean, I worshipped you, Ya Allah, for like hundreds of years, and you know, I died in sajda. I mean, I'm entered into paradise due to your bounty or due to, you know, all my actions? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, due to my bounty. So he said, but Ya Allah, I worshipped you for so many years. You know, I mean, wasn't there value to that? Is it just due to your mercy and rahmah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, take the eye of my slave and equate it with all of the actions that he's done. And it equaled out his eye, just one eye equaled out all of that worship. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels, take my servant and put him into the hellfire. Because he has nothing. That the bounty and the ni'mah of that one eye sorted out all of those years of worship. Subhanallah. And he was about to be entered into the hellfire. And then he made tawbah and he says no, etc. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, enter my slave into Jannah. And this individual also passed away in sajda. But still all of that never helped him in that matter. Allahu musta'an. So maybe a sin, an individual earns paradise through in. Because it continues in the cycle, and he's always at the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawwabin. With regards to this scholar, he mentions that I know an individual, somebody I know personally, and I give two conditions with regards to narration of the story. Number one, I will not exaggerate, he says. And number two, I will mention matters which I only saw with my own eyes. Those are two conditions. And then he talks about this youngster. He says that myself, him, and someone else were memorizing Sahih al-Bukhari. He memorized Sahih al-Bukhari with me. He says, you know, I thought that this was, you know, these stories were like stories of Imam Ahmed and Imam Abu Hanifa and the stories of the Imams of the past. He says, this guy, Hafiz al-Quran, he memorized Sahih Bukhari with me in 2 weeks. 2 weeks. He says, and I didn't know that with my friend, he was memorizing Sahih Muslim. And my friend didn't know that with me, he was memorizing Sahih Bukhari. He says that his level of ikhlas. So with me, he comes and we're memorizing Sahih Bukhari together. He memorized it in 2 weeks. And with my friend, he was memorizing Sahih Muslim. So my friend didn't know he's memorizing with me Bukhari. And I didn't know he's memorizing with my friend Sahih Muslim. Subhanallah. He says, and this individual, he liked one of the scholars of the past who was known for his ikhlas and always keeping matters a secret. He says that one day we were traveling and I fell asleep. He came to me and he puts his hand in front of my eyes to check whether I'm asleep or not. He says, I wasn't asleep, but I wanted to know, you know, what he was up to. And so he began praying. He says, you know, we read and we always hear, you know, the tabi'i, some of them, the Quran, you know, the sound of the Quran and the verses of the Quran sometimes get the better of them, and they will fall down, you know, like in a state of unconsciousness. This was not the practice of the Sahaba, but the Tabi'een, etc. And there's ikhilaf amongst the scholars with regards to this, whether allowed or not. He says, nonetheless, but this individual, I saw him performing Salah on that evening, that night. From 11 at night until Salatul Fajr, he was in Salah. Two rakahs of Salah continues throughout the entire night. And one day we were in Salatul Jumu'ah, and he was on the same. He's not talking about a guy living 1 million years ago. He says, this is an individual that I knew. And we'll talk about, we'll mention that, you know, he passed away. He passed away at the age of 20, subhanAllah. And then he says that we were out for Salatul Jumu'ah, and he was in the saf. The imam mentioned the verse that on that day that their skins would be burnt due to the sin they had committed. He says this individual, he fell down unconscious while in Salatul Jumu'ah. They went out for Salah once. The imam of the local masjid was not there. So this individual went forward and he led the prayer in that area. Imam was gone. So he says this individual would prolong the prayer. So he prolonged Salatul Asr, you know, maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes. After Salah, an old man came to him and, you know, took the stick and gave him a shot. And the imam said, you know, you got wiswas. You know, wiswas, anta muwaswis. You know, you have wiswas. You're prolonging the Salah so long. Something wrong with you. So he said to the old man, but you have, you know, you are healthy. He said to the old man, but you are healthy, you know. Old man said, what healthy? What healthy I am? I'm not healthy. So this guy lifted up his hand and he said, oh Allah, show the old man that he is healthy and that what he is in right now is a bounty from you. This narrator said, wallahi, by the time of Salatul Maghrib, the old man was not with us in the masjid. He was in his bed at home and he was unable to come to the masjid. He says, then after a few days, I went up to this youngster and I said to him, you know, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the old man is on his bed. You know, he can't even come to the masjid. You know, make dua that Allah cures him. He says, this guy was mustajabu da'wah, that if he would make dua, his du'as were answered. He says, wallahi, if we had brothers in our locality, in our area, when we would do our da'wah, etc., the guy was an alcoholic, the guy was taking drugs, the guy was far away from the religion. If, you know, we really wanted something to shake this guy, we would take this brother with us and we would go and speak to this individual. And he says, wallahi, you know, I don't know what, but this guy would have an effect on this person, and within a few days this guy would be correct, alhamdulillah. You know, he'd be mustaqim, he would be with us in the masjid. So I went to him after a few days and I said to him that fear Allah, that guy is on his deathbed there, you know, fear Allah. So he lifted up his hand and he made dua to Allah, and the next salah, wallahi, this guy says, and you guys might not believe me, but wallahi, that guy was in the masjid and he was performing salah with us, the old man. So the old man realized the benefit and the bounty of Allah that he was floating in, that he had health and he was healthy at the time. He says, and he mentioned a few other incidents, and he says that wallahi, one day I sat with him and I asked him, mention to me, and then he says, the whole story, whole topic was with regards to people who made Tawbah. So he says, this guy was a sinner in his past. He says, to this, and he says, when it came to memorizing of any mutun, any text of the hadith or Quran or, you know, fiqh or anything like that, I would sit with him and I would say, I challenge you to memorize it. So he would say, the guy would tell me, don't challenge me, I'll just memorize it like that, no need for a challenge. And he said that this guy's memory was so sharp that he would regard himself as have not memorized the matter if he made three mistakes. If he made three mistakes, then it's as if he never memorized the matter. And he would know it like Suratul Fatiha. One day I sat with him and asked him, tell me, you know, what sin have you committed, you know, that has put you in this level that, you know, we see you making salah and you cry, etc. I mean, you are on a level of like happiness and joy, you know, that we, you know, we feel jealous about, subhanAllah. So the guy said, no, you know, this and that. He says, no, wallahi, tell me. He says, okay. When I was young, when I was 7 or 8, I went into a shop and I purchased, and the guy had some biscuits in the shop, and I took these biscuits without any permission and I ate these biscuits. And I heard the Prophet ﷺ say that the body which was nourished upon haram will be, and the hellfire, you know, is the destination for such a body. So I was at the age of 7 or 8, I went into a shop and quietly I took some biscuits, I ate those biscuits, and then eventually later on I learned that the body which is nourished upon haram will taste the hellfire. Subhanallah. And before this scholar mentioned this, he says, if I mention the reason behind, you know, this state of his, you know, you'd laugh. You'd think, you know, this guy is Majnoon, something wrong with him or something, subhanallah. But ajib, ajib, subhanallah. And then he said, and wallahi, if this brother told me, I must swear by Allah not to mention the story to you people, I will still mention the story to you people. Even if he promised me by Allah not to tell you people, I would still tell you the story. And he said, the brother is not with us today, because once he was leaving the house, and either his neighbor or someone like that, you know, he was cleaning his gun. So this guy was cleaning the gun, and mistakenly one bullet went off and it ricocheted and it shot this brother and he fell down dead. And that's how he passed away. Subhanallah. Ajib, Allah musta'an. So that was a story, and that was an incident of somebody who lived, you know, these last few years. Subhanallah. Ajib. It's like the story of the Sahaba, Allah musta'an. Point is, on the side note, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam states that my ummah will continue to be victorious until the last day, that within the ummah, you know, within sections of the ummah, yes, maybe in our circle of friends we don't hear of things like this, we don't know of things like this, but there are within the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam people who are on this level. They are people who every single day he might go to work, but he also visits the hospital and he visits the sick, he visits the graveyard, he makes dua for the individuals in the graveyard, he does some da'wah, he looks after a certain individual, he gives some charity, like Abu Bakr on that day, who gave some charity, I gave charity, who followed the janazah, I followed the janazah, who did this, who did that. I mean, there are forerunners in the ummah, walhamdulillah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us, you know, just by their presence, inshaAllah, you know, we get some sort of blessing. The point in our whole reminder was that, number one, nobody is perfect. Everybody makes sins. And the best of the sinners are those who turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawbah. Number two, that in reality, we need Islam more than Islam needs us. Our life, if it was not with Islam, it would be a rather boring life. That the joy of the day of Eid, you bought your new thobe, you bought your new clothes, etc. The joy of Eid, you're going to meet your family members, the young children, they're going to get Eidi. They're all looking forward to this day. Everyone is, you know, competing with one another, with the cousins. How much Eidi you got? How much Eidi I got? I got more than you. I got this new garment. Jayid, sometimes, you know, it's, you know, you're living in the UK and, you know, the moon conflict, you know, saw the moon, follow Saudi, follow this country, that country. I mean, they look forward, you know, to this conflict. What your, you know, your masjid, where, you know, which moon they are following. I mean, in our wrong also, sometimes, you know, it gives us some sort of joy. It's a joke that, you know, the Muslims, you know, they joke about it too, you know. But yes, Neil Armstrong, he went up there, he saw it was only one moon. But I mean, you know, we follow our own moons, etc. Subhanallah. Jayid, the point is that life without Islam would be such a boring life. Allahu musta'an. With that, I thank you all. Jazakumullahu khairan. Hada wa sallallahu sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.